this word of God is all wonderful, but these scriptures came to me last night. Beginning with the 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want you to know that when you came to Christ and you got that baptism of the Holy Ghost and you were buried in Jesus' name, everything for you became new. You can't reach back and say, well, my daddy always had a bad temper, and so I've got one too. Yeah, your daddy's the devil. He's got a bad temper. But you've been made a new creature in Christ. And I heard a lot of teaching just recently on generational curses. They end at Calvary. I want you to know they end at Calvary. They can't hold on any further. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All things are made new. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I read on. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The world had no desire to be reconciled, but God had such love for us that he came to reconcile us to him. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Let me read that again. He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ said, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What beautiful words. We bring our sin and our nothingness to him, and he gives us his righteousness. God bless you. You may be seated. I got to thinking last night about, and I think God directed my thoughts, about ambassadors. You know, a man that has been chosen as an ambassador of his country has received a high honor. And we today have received from God the position of ambassadors, every last one of us. You might be ever so weak and not too smart, you don't think, and all of that, but God has chosen you to be his ambassador. And the ambassadors, I read a list of their requirements one day. It's been quite a long time ago. I don't remember all of them. But I remember that they are never, never to say anything that might be used against the country that they represent. We represent heaven to this world today, you and I. And we might not feel like that we're the best representative that God could pick out, but he's already chosen us for that task. And he's equipped us. In the scripture I read yesterday morning, from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. God has already chosen you to be an ambassador of heaven. And there's eyes on you. The world is watching. I'll never forget, I hadn't been saved but about a year. And one of my old friends came to visit. And she examined me real closely. I figured she would. But it was worse than I thought. And when she started to leave, she said, I watched you when we went to town. I made you take me places, and I watched your reaction, what you looked at, what you were interested in. And she said, you are completely changed. You're not the person you used to be. That was the best news I had. But she said, I paused by the picture show to look at the advertisements. She said, you acted like you didn't even see him. And I didn't. As a matter of fact, I did, and I didn't realize what she was doing. You see, we're on display all the time. And among our family, I have had some of my family members come to me and said, I watched to see how you would respond to what was said and what would happen. We're being watched. But we've received power. Don't forget it. Now, I don't care what happens. There's a God that knows everything and is in charge of everything. And He has said He would give us power. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I told you yesterday, after the bad news that I got about my grandson, how that I realized God has got all the strength and all the faith and all the everything I need for this situation. Any situation you meet, I don't care what it is. I don't care what happens. It doesn't make any difference what happens. God is never at a loss for things to do. And He wants us to be His envoy, His appointee, special appointee to this world. I will never forget one day I walked into a store. I had asked them to do a certain thing for me. And when I got there, it hadn't been done. And what they had done was not what I wanted. And I lambasted that little girl behind the counter. And I walked out and got in the car feeling awful miserable. And I thought, why do I feel like this? Well, I didn't go far before I realized why I was feeling like that. I had been a very poor ambassador of the King in that shop. You see, I've been with people in restaurants, and they have behaved in such an unseemly way. We forget that we are on duty at all times. We're on inspection at all times. And there's a God who said He'd give us everything we needed. And I've met some situations that I thought, God, I have no idea how you're going to handle this. But I'll be awful glad to find out. And every single time I found out. I'll never forget, my husband and I were young and struggling, and we had such a burden for the mission field, and we knew we were going to go one day. We knew that by God's grace. And I'd go off and preach meetings, and I'd come back and put all the offerings they gave me in the missionary offering, besides whatever expenses I had to pay to get there and get back. And everything went into that missionary offering. So there was a... She was actually, I hadn't been converted but a couple of years, young lady. And she said, you're going to conference, and we've got $50 missionary money. Now, you must know that money wasn't so free back in those days. And $50 was quite a bit of money then, a whole lot more than it is now, in value it seemed. And she said, you are going to the conference that's going to be held in St. Louis? So you could just pay this in and for me, but be sure they send me a receipt. So I was overjoyed. I was so thrilled and happy to have that $50 to pay in. And when I got to the conference, they had a young lady there accepting things like that. And our mission director was standing by me when I handed the money over. And he heard me say, now be sure to send her the receipt. And I gave her the address. And she said, oh, yes, yes, yes. And that was all that happened. Well, earlier that year, I had preached a meeting at a little country church. Everybody in there was farmers, and they had no income until they got their crops harvested. And I was there before the crops were harvested, and we had a wonderful revival. And they said, we'll do something for you later. I said, no. You gave me all this wonderful food from your gardens. We ate a lot and canned a lot. And I used to do all my canning. And I said, this is wonderful. I don't need anything else. I've been more than paid back. God has rewarded me. But some of those folks is at the conference. And they said, Sister Freeman, this is just business, you know. Come go with us. We're going to go window shopping. So we're just walking down the downtown, looking in the windows. And so this store, they had a sale on coats. Well, it just so happened I didn't have a coat. I had a sweater. I didn't suffer from the cold. But I had often thought about buying me a coat, but I never got around to it. So they took me in, and they set a trap for me. They were trying coats on me. And, no, that one's too short, and that one's too tight in the shoulders. And finally they found one. And they said to the clerk, we'll take it. I said, no, I can't buy anything. And they said, you're not buying, we're buying you this coat. It was a beautiful blue coat, and I really liked it. And it cost $50. Well, I got back from the conference with a new coat. And I said, you know, those folks out at that little country church bought this coat for me. And there was cheaper ones there. I had tried on cheaper ones, and they didn't like it, and they wanted me to try on a more expensive. And they insisted on buying this coat for me. Well, not long after that, I noticed the atmosphere changed at church. I'd walk up to some of the saints talking, and they all would get quiet when I walk up, just as if I was interrupting, just walking up. I just was greeting everybody. And then when I got up to preach, it seemed like half of the crowd was throwing my sermon back at me. And so I said to my husband, have you ever thought about moving on? I'm beginning to feel uncomfortable here. I don't like this place anymore. I don't know what it is. Always before, when I'm in the pulpit, I could feel their love. I could feel, and they were listening. I said, they're not listening anymore. He said, I think that's your imagination. I said, no, it's not imagination. And he had this funny habit that he'd never tell me ahead of time when he wanted me to preach. He'd wait till we got to church, and he'd point that finger at me. And that meant I'm to preach. And during that time, that very time that there was so much tension in the church, I said, honey, you just do most of the preaching now. Don't call on me so much. And he'd just get that finger out and act like I'd never said anything. And I didn't understand. Well, something else happened. It was kind of funny. One night, he sent me a note. He said, you're to preach tonight. He called one of the kids up to the platform and gave him a note for me. You're to preach tonight. And I thought, well, every time before, when he's pointed that finger at me, I've had a message. But I haven't got one, no. I had beat myself down by the lack of response. And I didn't have a message. And so I wrote him a note and told him all the reasons. I said, well, there's this Nazarene preacher here tonight and his wife, and they don't believe in lady preachers, and so it wouldn't be wise for me to try to preach tonight. I wrote him a note on great detail and sent it up to him. He just wadded it up and pointed his finger. And I was in the habit of mostly doing what he told me to do. And I sat there and sort of stewed. And I wrote him another note. God hasn't given me anything. And so he just wadded up that note and pitched it on the floor and smiled at me and pointed the finger and said, he will. He will. But I was never so desperate in my life. So I began to turn to my Bible. I couldn't find anything readable. I couldn't find anything that looked like a message in this big book. Nothing looked like it was it. And I don't know what to do. And so all of a sudden, he calls for me to come to the pulpit. And so I went up there. And as I on the way to the pulpit, I said, all right, I'll just open my Bible, and wherever it opens, I will read. And we'll have to go from there. God will have to go from there. I don't know what this, I don't know. I'm at a loss. And I got to the pulpit, and I opened my Bible, and it opened over there the account of Elijah going to heaven. And that verse jumped out at me. And So I just started reading about Elisha's got the mantle of Elijah, and he hits the water with it, and he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when I said those words, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" I realized where he was. I mean, I took off dancing, and I danced from one end of that platform to the other, and I kept dancing. And I thought, well, I've got to go back and talk about that verse, but I couldn't. All I could do was dance and shout and hallelujah. And finally, with great effort, I got out of the spirit. I mean, I had an awful time to get myself back, you know, to normal. And I opened my eyes. And just as I opened my eyes, that ex-Nazarene pastor got the Holy Ghost. And his wife nearly got it that night. She got it a few nights later. Hallelujah. And everybody in that church was in the altar. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There wasn't any. Everybody got filled and refilled that night. Hallelujah. And all they heard was, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He's right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he's right there, whatever your situation is. He's right there. Hallelujah. Well, it didn't get any better, though. And finally, one night, our assistant pastor, was a very beautiful lady, came up and parked her car and told her kids to tell me to come out to the car. And she said, "Sister Freeman, I haven't got the nerve to tell you this where I can see you. I'd rather tell you out here in the dark in the car." But that young lady didn't get a receipt. And so her and a couple of other ladies have told the whole town that you stole missionary money, that you took that $50 and bought a coat. And I felt like it was the end of the world. I thought they ought to know me better than that. Every offering I get, I put it in the missionary offering. And that's why there was $50 there. Because a lot of it I was for meetings that I preached and I put it in. I thought, what is this? What is this? I don't know what this is. And she said, "The church is divided. Half of them believe you did, and half of them don't think you did. And I don't know what to do. I just want to tell you what's going on." Well, with that, I got out of the car, and she left, and I went back in the house utterly crushed, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried. And I'd go to church with my head hanging, and leave church with my head hanging, and I didn't sing, I didn't worship, I didn't do anything. So my husband decided it was time to step in. He said, "You act like you've committed some crime." He said, "You ought to be worshiping God no matter what they said. You just keep worshiping God no matter what they said." He said, "And I believe if you praise God a little bit, you could get this heavy cloud lifted from off of you." He said, "I don't know what to do." Well, we were building a new church, and the Saturday of that week, we were to clean up the new church, because I had the first service on Sunday morning. Only going to dedicate it later, but we were going to have the first service that Sunday morning. One of my babies had pneumonia, and so I'd arranged for a young lady that I trusted to come and take care of the baby. But then they phoned me and said, "Sister Freeman, we don't need you with the cleaning anymore. We've got enough ladies to clean, so you just take care of your baby." Well, I phoned the lady. Because we were going to Africa, we didn't get much furniture. We just had cast-offs of the people. Whatever they didn't want, they brought to us, and we furnished our house with it. And in my living room, I had a big old rocking chair. It was the clumsiest thing I ever saw. I was never so glad to get rid of it. When I went to Africa, I finally got rid of that thing. And but I sat down in that chair with my baby to rock her to sleep. And I thought, well, my husband said, "Praise God. I don't have anything to praise God for right now, but I'm going to praise him." And so, it didn't sound like praise, but I began to say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." And all of a sudden, I'm surrounded by garbage. In the spirit, I saw what I was surrounded with. And rusty tin cans and rotten vegetables and ugly stuff and stinky stuff was all around me. And I thought, well, I'll just praise some more. And so I got to praising. Well, then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God hit me. That big old mass of junk left. It disappeared. And I'm dancing in that rocking chair. It was on a wooden floor. And so they could hear. We was right by the church. And so they could hear at the church. So they said, she's probably breaking up the Parsons now. We better get over and see. And I didn't know when they come. I didn't know anything about it. They opened the door and saw me dancing in the rocking chair. And whammy, 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 wham. And said my face was shining with the glory of God. You could have asked me, you know, sometimes even an old clunky rocking chair can be a part of God's plan. And some of the things that you may not like in your situation is maybe what God's going to use to make you a better ambassador. Hallelujah. I didn't know anything about them coming and looking. But when the young lady looked at my face, she turned around and walked home. That was the end of the cleaning for her. We got there Sunday morning. I got there determined. I'm going to keep praising God. God's going to have to straighten this mess out. I didn't do anything wrong. And I'm just put it in His hands. And so I went in with a joyful heart and a joyful lip and was praising God. We were singing the first song when this young lady walked to the front of the church. She said, could we stop singing, please? There's something I've got to take care of. She said, Sister Freeman, will you come up here and stand by me? And I joyfully went up there to stand by her. And I was just so full of joy till I couldn't act like I was sad about anything. And she began to confess. And she said, when they didn't send me that receipt, I went to this lady in the church. She said, that means that Sister Freeman took that money. And she'd never pay her yet. She said, then we went and told others about it. And I knew that it wasn't true. I knew it wasn't right. I knew I wasn't doing the right thing. And before everybody, I want to confess my faults today and say, I know that you paid that money in. And even though I didn't get a receipt, I know you did. And would you please forgive me for falsely accusing you? Well, I don't know what happened next. Something happened. That whole church was shouting, and we never had in Sunday school. We had a hallelujah time that morning. And everybody was shouting, everybody was praising God, hugging necks and praying through and getting in touch with God again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That night, after church started, a missionary director arrived. He got off of the bus and walked in the church, and we didn't expect him, and we were so surprised. So my husband said, brother, leave your suitcase there and come here and just say hello to everybody. And would you please preach for us tonight? When he got up to preach, he said, I was standing by that day in St. Louis when Sister Freeman put down that $50 missionary offering from this little church. And he said, I'm going to make a special visit to that little church and thank them that in these bad times where money is so scarce that they put together $50 for the missionary. And for some reason, half of the town was there at our church that night. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I left out one little part of that story. Across the street lived a very sweet lady. She was so precious. She even came to visit us later when we got to Africa. And she said, Sister Freeman, I asked God to give me something for you last night. And she said, he did. Now, she was the postmistress in the town. And she said, I'm running late this morning, so meet me at the gate, and I'll just put this little piece of paper in your hand. An angel came and brought me a package tied with a red ribbon, and I opened it, and there was just this little piece of paper in it. But that was just a dream. But I wrote down on a piece of paper. And But I thought this was so funny. I mean, she just come by and put that paper in my hand and no hugs, no hello, nothing, just go on. And I opened it, I looked at that piece of paper and it said, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. I decided even God was against me then. Sometimes God knows exactly what you need. And a dirty blow is sometimes what you need. and a nasty mess is what you need. But if you're here this morning and you've had a dirty blow or you're in the middle of a nasty mess, God knows what you need. He's busy making a better ambassador of you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My husband repeated his message the night before. If you will start praising God, everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And we stayed at that little church. My husband, they voted him in as pastor of a church in Canada, Ontario, Canada. He said, no, I'm going to go from Rose Pine. This little white spot in the road. They tried to get him to accept a church in Baton Rouge, big church. He said, no, no, I'm going to go from this little church to Africa. And they tried to get him to go to Shreveport to take a big church. And he said, no, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay right here. Because these are my people. And they're going to send me to Africa. And so we left. We had an old dog that was so contrary. My husband loved this dog. But everybody he gave it to brought him back. And so, because we were going to Africa, is the only reason he was giving him away. So, a few weeks later, we were getting ready to go to Africa. And the people brought back the dog. And the day that the truck came to pick up our barrels and our luggage, to take it to New Orleans, going to Africa, that dog looked at us all. It was his eyes. I think he was saying goodbye. And then he just waited by the side of the road until he saw a car coming real fast, and then he ran in front of it. He committed suicide. all of our problems got solved. God will find a way to take care of every one of your problems. My husband was losing sleep over this dog. He was so fond of this dog. And the dog didn't like anybody but us. And so that clever dog, I mean, he ended it all. my husband went to Africa with a good mind, knowing that the dog's name was Lucky. But you see, every last problem that we met along the way, God solved those problems for us. And that's the kind of God we serve this morning. And He is in the problem-solving business. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And do you know what the answer is? You start praising God. You start praising God. And He will answer every one of your problems. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I had such a bad night last night. I got too tired. After I went to the room, I didn't go to bed when I should. And so I'm tired. And so the devil said to me, you better suggest to Brother Hendricks that maybe you don't come back next year. This is it. And you'll get up there and fall flat on your face this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I found the prettiest thing I could find in the closet wear, so I could fall on my face looking all right. But what I want to tell you is that God will make you an ambassador for Him. He will give you the power. Me, I'm bashful, I can't talk. I was so bashful in school that I couldn't talk. They told me I could be on the honor roll if I would get up in front of the class and say something. I could write it down, but I couldn't stand up and talk. And that's all I'm doing is stand up and talk. But God will give you what you need. He will give you what you need. I feel like right now there's somebody that God is offering you victory for your problem. Will you stand and say, thank you, Lord? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Accept your victory and thank God for it. Hallelujah, accept your victory and thank God for it.
There is victory for you right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's victory in the camp. There's victory for you. Yes, you. Hallelujah. Thank Him. Praise Him. I don't care what the situation is. You can have victory this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now this is settled. Hallelujah. 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 God has taken care of your problems just like He took care of mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Sit down in victory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. America is going to the dogs. Our country is not what it used to be. There's things that is legal now that people would have put in jail for 10 years ago. But America will not send an unworthy diplomat. They screen them very carefully. And God doesn't choose any ambassadors that are unworthy. And if He chose to forgive your sins and give you His righteousness, He will make you a witness for Him. The Holy Ghost wasn't given to us to dance and run in church and shout and praise God. That's all part of the package. But it was given to us with power to be a witness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I don't care what you have done, what mistakes you've made, how stupid you have been, that all went under the blood. And you're a new creature in Christ, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you are worthy of doing what God wants you to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The sad part about our generation and the church today is we are not witnesses. We're not witnesses. Let's admit it today. Let's repent and say, God, forgive me for not being a witness. Would you do that just right now? Would you just say, God, forgive me that I haven't been a witness? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Forgive me for not being a witness. We need to repent. Because God has already promised us all the power we need to tell anybody. Jet Stalin, one of our pioneer preachers, she taught in Bible schools, was a wonderful lady. She went into saloons, a godly Pentecostal lady, looking apostolic, went into the saloons and witnessed for Jesus. I haven't ever had that courage. But I have been able to witness in some very peculiar situations. One day at Rose Pine, I've told you this story before, so I'm not going to tell it in great detail, but God spoke to me and said, go stand on your front porch and wave. Now this story's got a sequel, that's why I'm telling you again. He said, go stand on your front porch and wave. I thought, God, now I believe in being witness. But what good is it going to do to me to stand out there and wave? But I finally got myself to my little front porch, 6 feet square. And I'm standing there flopping my hands, feeling like an idiot. And all of a sudden, there was not a car or a cat or a dog or a human being, nothing passed by. We live right beside a main highway. But then I saw a car. And I went up on my tiptoe, and I waved, and I smiled. I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I'll do it right. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I waved, and I smiled, and I waved, and I smiled. The car slowed down real slow. And so I couldn't see the man's face that was driving, or expression on his face, but I just kept waving and smiling until he went around the curve and got out of sight. Then I stopped. I thought, I'll never find out what that was all about. But 10 years later, I'd been in Africa 10 years, and I came back and preached at that little church. And a man walked up and he said, Sister Freeman, I'm O.C. Taylor. I lived here when you were here. But you didn't know me. We moved in different circles. I was a town drunk. He said, one day I decided to take my gun and go to the sand pits and blow out my brain. So I got in the car. My gun was on my lap. And it looked like you were waiting for me when I got to that Pentecostal church. You smiled and you waved and you smiled and you waved. And I felt love. That Pentecostal preacher's wife would feel bad if I killed myself. I went around the corner and I parked my car and I put my head down the steering wheel and began to cry and call on God for the first time in my life. He said, I came. It took me a long time. I went to the church several times but couldn't go in. I was so bashful. I couldn't stay out of trouble, couldn't stay out of jail, couldn't keep a job. My life was a disaster. But finally, I got in the church. And the night I went in, I ran to that altar. And I found God. And I got baptized in Jesus' name and I got the Holy Ghost that same night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, then in this church is this beautiful widow lady. We got to be friends. And I married her. And now we're serving God together and we're so happy. Thank God that you threw your front porch that day and waved. I've told you this story before, but something happened since I was here last time that I've got to tell you. And I had to tell you again so you know what it was about. I preached in a place called Nettleton, Mississippi, the oldest church in Mississippi, little town of 2,000 people. They had the biggest Pentecostal church I've seen lately. And I said, did they ever get this full? I thought, will they ever get this church full? But that Sunday night it was full. And I told this story again about standing on my porch and waving. And when the service was over, a lady came. And she hugged me, and she cried, and she hugged me, and she cried. She put her head on my shoulder, and my shoulder was wet with her tears. And she said, Sister Freeman, O.C. Taylor was my uncle. And we all, his family, saw the difference in his life. And all of his family became Pentecostal. They were Catholics before. They all became Pentecostal. Because... Just think, if you had waved, I wouldn't have known anything about God. I wouldn't know the Pentecostal wave. I wouldn't know what I know today. I wouldn't have what I've got if you hadn't gone out there and waved. And I felt like such an idiot doing it. You see, sometimes you feel like an idiot doing what God tells you to do. But we got to do it. And the Lord says, tell you one more story. And near that little town where we live, there was a little settlement of foreigners. They spoke pretty good English, but with an accent. But they isolated themselves. Would go out to get their kids for school, they'd meet them with shotguns. But it came Christmas time. And I got those folks on my mind. And I've got those children on my mind. And I couldn't forget them. And so finally it was so bad that I just had to do something about it. So I went around to our church people and said, would you give me some of your Christmas goodies? I want to take some to kids that don't know anything about Christmas goodies. And so everybody gave me something. I got two big sacks full. And I crossed the log to get out to the settlement, across the creek. And it was kind of funny to be balancing with two bags getting across that creek on a log. And they met with their shotguns. And I said, listen, you folks don't celebrate Christmas. You act like Jesus was never even born. This might not even be the right date, but this is the date we celebrate that he came. And so I brought goodies for the children. They put their guns down and escorted me to their houses. I put something in every one of those children's hands. It was a glorious day for me. Satisfied something in my soul. But not long after that, one of those men knocked on my door at 6 o'clock in the morning. He said, my daughter's very sick. You come. Well, how old were you, Sandra? She was 5 and she had a little brother and a little sister. I said, can you take care of your little brother and little sister and fix them something to eat? I'll have to follow this man because I don't know how to get in to where they are with a car. So I'll have to follow him. I got out there and here lay an 18-year-old girl that just had a baby. It'd been born a couple of hours before, and there lay the afterbirth and everything. Well, I didn't know much, but I went to work. I had my little case with me during the war, and we prepared for emergencies, and I had a little case that had old sheet iron until it was almost brown, and I disinfected it, and I had scissors, and I had cord, and I cut the cord and used part of that sheet for washcloth and cleaned up everything. But then I thought, my goodness. Now then they found out about me and I'll have no rest now. So I went to the neighbor in town and to the doctor at the hospital. I said, Dr. Frazier, now things have happened in our country that's beyond everybody's control. And they had outlawed midwifery school at Louisiana then. And so there was no school I could go to. I said, will you allow me to come work in the hospital in the obstetrical section so I can find out what to do? I did my best, but it wasn't maybe the way it should have been. I guess I was the first one without knowing it. And so he said, but I'm going to do what you have said. I said, you won't go out there to those people. So they're going to come to me. There's going to be more babies born. And I need to learn something. I won't charge you anything. I'll empty bedpans and make up beds and do everything you tell me to do. I'll come to work at 6 o'clock every morning. And I did. I got nothing for it. Kind of a little funny sequel to that. When we got ready to go to Africa, Dr. Frazier said, I will offer you more than our head nurse is receiving in salary. If you'll stay, Africa don't need you near as bad as we do. Because he saw that my prayers in that hospital saved lives and changed things. Young man was going to have his legs amputated. I didn't know at that time he was a backslider, but he was. He'd been in a motorcycle accident, and his legs were so bad, the doctor said, tomorrow morning we'll have to amputate his legs. And so I spent that night in prayer. The next morning, the doctor said, you know, there's an improvement in that fellow's legs. I'm not going to cut them off. So, and a lot of things happen like that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But the thing I really want to tell you about was one day the doctors, 7 doctors used that hospital. And the doctor had a case, and so he said, you got any RNs? And I was standing there, and the head nurse says, no, we've only got Freeman. He said, well, I guess I'll have to put up with her today. And so as we went down to and he was on his way to the delivery room then, he said, and so I walked with him, and he said, now when this baby is born, just pitch it over on the table, because it will not live, it cannot live. It's a hopeless case. I told her when her last baby was born and died that she shouldn't try to have another one. And now she's done it again. And she's going to lose this one too. And you just do what I tell you to do. I'll tell you what to do. And you just do what. Oh, I wish I had an RN to help me today. This is a bad case. And he made me feel like a zero before I got in the room. And then when we got in there, he was so rough. It would have been material for a malpractice suit today. But I saw him deliver that baby with forceps, and he did it so cruelly, and he did it so roughly. And I was praying all the time. And then he put that little white body in my hands. And God said, go back to the sink with this baby. And I remembered an old midwife had told me about one time she'd saved the lives of premature twins by putting them in warm water and cold water. And so, and just at that second, two RNs came through the door. And so they took over my place. And so I was free. And I went back to where the sinks were. And I put this little darling in the some warm water and then in some cold water, and I'd exercise her arms and legs, and I didn't think about being an ambassador then, but I would say in the spirit, live, baby, you live in Jesus' name, you must live. And I didn't know why this little body was so important. And when she gave her first one, wham, the doctor turned around over his shoulder and said, Freeman, are you fiddling with that baby? I told you to stop. Throw it down. It's not going to live anyway. You're wasting your time. But it's the only time I disobeyed a doctor. I couldn't help it. God said, work with this baby. I worked with that baby. Worked with that baby. Pretty soon she got pink, and then she got red, and I did the new birth procedure. And finally I took her up to her mother in the room. They had a basket for the baby to be in. I put the baby there, and I hugged her, and I said, your baby's going to be all right. And by the help of the Lord. And she was a backslider, but I didn't know it then. And I put the baby down, and I said, and I'm leaving tomorrow, going to conference, and I won't be back for 2 weeks. So I won't see you again, but I'll be praying for you and your baby. And as soon as I got back, I got to the head nurse. I said, tell me about that baby. She said, well, when she left with her mother, she was fine. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One day on one of our furloughs, I came back to the Louisiana camp meeting, and a fine-looking lady came up to me. She said, hello, my name is Judy. She said, I believe you saved my life. I said, well, tell me more. I don't know. I don't remember. And she said, the doctor said that I would die, that I couldn't possibly live. And my mother heard you praying over me, and you worked with me. And I'm a preacher's wife today, and I'm the ladies' ministers leader in our section. And I just felt like I had to come and tell you, thanks, because you believed God and you called on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Still didn't have the courage to talk to a lot of people about the Lord like I was able to get later. But that lady today, and last year, I spoke at the Louisiana campground, and I told that story. She wasn't there. She'd hurt her back the day before, and she couldn't walk, but her son was there. When I got through, he come up and sit down by me. He said, Sister Freeman, do you know what you did? I want to tell you something. I'm a pastor in Colorado now. My whole family is saved. My drunken grandfather got saved through his daughter being, her life being rescued. And he said, you brought many people. You've been responsible for many people in the ministry today. He said, I want to thank you because you've worked with my mother. And God touched her and saved her life. You don't know what all God's going to do for you, with you, through you.